Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Thursday, October 24th, 2013. Some of the issues today we'll be talking about faith. How about anti-faith sentiment? We're going to be talking about banking. And we're going to be talking about many, many other things. The first segment of the program today, Wendy Wilson will be joining us. But first, let's just quickly get to the market report before we bring her on. You have gold today is trading higher. Woohoo! We have gold up almost $14. And at $13.48, we have silver up 16 cents today at $22.82, along with platinum up 20 at $14.56. Palladium didn't want to play along today. Not a lot of change in palladium, $750. The USDX today, still a little pressure, but it is coming back from the low of the day, down 0.09 at $79.18. You have crude oil up a little bit, hitting 97, up from the 96 from yesterday. And the stock markets today, they went a little crazy today. Let me pull up my numbers here. A lot of positive earnings. You had Ford come out today, and it's funny, all of their reports are adjusted profits, adjusted declines, adjusted this, adjusted that. And it's like, how the heck can you believe any of these corporations? I mean, they can jiggle their numbers just like our government does. The U.S. stocks ended a little bit higher today. China came in with some pretty good factory data, and the Dow added 100 points, 95 to be exact, at 15,509. You have the NASDAQ up 21 points at 39.28. The S&P up 5 at 17.52. The 10-year yield prefers the 250, 2.52 on the 10-year yield, up 0.04. So the markets are happy. The world is happy. Sell your gold and silver. What do you need it for? If that's kind of how everybody is approaching everything, Al. Should we sell our gold and silver? Why not? Let's buy some paper. Hey, let's buy some Netflix. That's at that's only up 300% in the past year. So
makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. Let's do it. But
I'd be willing to sell my gold right now for $5,000 or $10,000 an ounce.
Yeah.
Anybody wants to buy it, I'll sell what I have.
Yeah.
And then I'll turn around and take that money and go buy more gold at the current price. That's all.
You know, it certainly should be selling at a little bit higher than what it
should
is.
Should be selling a lot higher. Should be selling a lot higher. The reality is being denied and defied.
Absolutely.
And we can just sit back and wonder how long it will be before reality asserts itself again. And once again, we see something like reason controlling the markets. But, you know, we know that the government, by means of the Federal Reserve, controls the interest rates. We know that the government, by means of the Federal Reserve, controls the amount of money that's in circulation or the amount of currency that's in circulation. We know they have a plunge protection team to protect, to prevent the major stock markets from declining more than a significant amount in one day. We know from all of this that manipulation is not far-fetched. It's not uncommon. It's the way the system is not for a considerable period of time. So the question becomes, how long can they continue to sustain this? How long can they keep interest rates at next to nothing? How long can they pump $85 billion in fiat currency a month into the economy? How long can the Federal Reserve continue to buy U.S. treasuries? You know, you're just looking at things where no one knows. But it seems improbable that they can continue with this kind of nonsense, with this irrational behavior, indefinitely. Sooner or later, reason has to prevail, and those who haven't acted in a reasonable way are in for a big surprise. You know, there's a song that Hank Williams Jr. did back about 1984 called An Attitude Adjustment. And some of you folks may remember the song, and it's about four different episodes where people, some drunk, shows up in a bar and he decides he wants to fight everybody. And he finally gets his wish and somebody thumps him pretty hard. And the guy got an attitude adjustment. He began to realize not a good idea to go into the bar and start picking fights. And they went through a couple more stories like that in the context of the song. I've got an article that we'll talk more probably tomorrow about from the Bureau of International Settlements and their president, their CEO, Corona. I can't think of his first name. But in any case, he is flat out saying, if you read his recent speech, he is essentially saying, look, we are all headed for an attitude adjustment. He uses the word adjustment. He says there's an adjustment coming, and he says it's going to be costly. Well, that's the way bankers think in terms of being cost. I'm telling you there's an adjustment coming, and it's going to be painful. Not just going to be costly, it's going to be painful. But the man who is the head of the Bank of International Settlements, he's saying, yeah, buddy, we're going to have that adjustment. And the adjustment is going to apply to everyone who's had an improper attitude, everyone who thought that they could just sit back, get rich, working with paper and so on, and define reality. We're going to get that attitude adjustment. And if you haven't heard the song before, go to YouTube, Google it. Whatever, Attitude Adjustment by Hank Williams Jr. You might find it amusing, but I think it's evidence. I think it illustrates what's headed our way. We're going to get an attitude adjustment, and it's not going to be fun. What else? We have Wendy Wilson here.
Yes, we do. Wendy Wilson, Apothecary Herbs, and the website, thepowerherbs.com. Hey, Wendy.
Hi, Melody. Hi, Al. How you doing?
Hi, just fine.
Awesome.
What you got for us today?
Well, I think it's important for folks to realize that, you know, they can actually magnify a lot of actions of their medicinal herbs when they put them together. Some herbs are just work better if you add or layer in additional herbs. And this is what is known as this synergy effect. And it's nothing new, Al, Melanie. The synergy effect is things that work in harmony, and the Greeks understood this very well. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if there was a dropout for the audience, but there was a dropout at least at this end. And I think you're trying to say, I think you said synergistic effect for the herbs, and I'm not sure that the word got to the audience. So.
Okay.
Synergistic.
Yeah, it's things that work in harmony together. And, you know, our scientific community has been actually studying this for some time, especially with regard to a lot of the medicinal herbs. There's this one doctor, Dr. Neja Chech, who published an article in the Journal of Natural Products in 2011. And he was talking about some of the medicinal herbs that have the synergistic energy effects. And they were studying this at the North Carolina Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry in Greensboro, North Carolina. And they were looking at the chemistry effects of golden seal. And they were quite surprised to find out that golden seal has 16 elements that can work together for different synergistic effects. For instance, it has an antibacterial agent quality about it, and it can kill staph infections. So if you layer golden seal with, let's say, some immune-stimulating herbs, your immune system can kill staph even faster.
Okay, we're talking about staph. Let's suppose I've gone into a hospital.
Right.
And I've acquired a staph infection while I was there. Now, which is likely to be more potent at relieving me of that infection? Something I get from the hospital, or something I find from herbs or minerals, or is there are they competitive? Or
yes,
even superior?
They're very competitive, Al. Actually, if I were in the hospital, I can't give medical advice, but I can only tell you what I would do if I were you. And if I was in the hospital with a staph infection, you know, first of all, I'd probably check myself out. But you can use several different herbs that have been clinically proven in laboratory tests to kill staph infection. Garlic is one. You can layer in some colloidal silver if you want. There's mm-hmm. lots you could do to really enhance your benefit of getting rid of the staph infection. You definitely
How
want
do the costs?
Oh, the cost.
How do the costs compare?
The cost of using herbs compared to drugs? Well, of course, your herbs are less expensive, definitely, than your medicine. Yeah, but they don't have any antibiotics now to use. They just say a prayer and give you their strongest antibiotic and hope it kills staph. They are just running out of options there because it's antibiotic resistant now, the staph infections. So I did want to point out, because I was talking with Melanie before the show, and we've come up with a option for folks who are on a budget, and they want to use some synergistic layering effects of herbal formulas to, you know, deal with things like flu bugs, colds this winter season. And if they're on a budget, we came up with what we call R3 Amigos. And these are three powerful immune-stimulating formulas, American ginseng, astragalus root, and our immune booster formula. So if you layer those three in together, you can nip things in the bud or shorten the duration of illness. And I came up with this the other week because my daughter was under the weather with a virus, and I said, well, let's just use my three amigos, my three friends that I usually just, you know, power up with right away, and it'll just take care of this in a skinny minute, and it did.
All right.
How often do you have to take it, and do you have to take it all through the season, or is this something you want to do on a weekly basis, monthly basis, and what is the cost?
Well, what you want to do is if you're you know, going to go into an office and you know you have some sick office workers showing up there, you can definitely take it as a prevention. If you feel like you're coming down with something, then I would hit it pretty hard and use it every 2 to 3 hours for at least the first day. If you are currently under the weather with a super, you know, illness of some kind of cold or flu bug, then you want to hit it every 2 hours for at least 5 days. So there's different strategies of layering these products, and we instruct people on how to use these. Our products come with instructions, and of course we're always available by phone or email if they have questions. But you have powerful tools, and you have the ability to, you know, tick it up a notch if you're fighting these superbugs out there.
Mm-hmm. Can people have an adverse reaction to herbs?
Oh, yes, definitely. Herbs can create an allergic reaction just like any food could. So you definitely want to know what your sensitivities are. For instance, if somebody has like an allergy to aspirin products, you definitely want to steer clear of herbs like willow bark and meadow sweet, because they do have the salicin in them, and salicin is what they extract to make an aspirin product. So you want to be and we list all our ingredients and counter-regulatories in our catalog and on our website. But definitely, if you know you have a sensitivity, let's say, to some grasses, some allergic reactions to grass, then your wheatgrass, your alfalfa grass, and your barley grass may also be an issue for you, and you want to check ingredients on your products.
All right. I've got another article here if you want to get off the subject for a little while. Report reveals America. Pardon me?
Go ahead, Al. Go ahead.
All right. Report reveals American healthcare system could save billions each year through appropriate use of dietary supplements. Now, you're not talking, you're selling herbs, I understand, but I think there's enough of a similarity here where you may, this may be of interest to you. New report reveals that proper use of certain nutritional supplements in protective doses could save the American healthcare system billions of dollars each year in avoided hospitalizations. They say that the study did not talk about vitamin D, but it did talk about omega-3 supplements among adults aged 55 and over diagnosed with coronary heart disease. They claim it could reduce, if you take enough omega-3, it could reduce annual hospital costs by more than $2 billion annually on average. And there's more to the article. The point I'm trying to get to is this. I'm going to make the assumption that herbs fit into this, although they're talking about vitamin supplements here. I'm going to make the assumption that herbs fit into this, and I'm going to make the assumption that these herbs can also significantly reduce not merely the cost of medical care, but obviously our exposure to disease. We don't need medical care. That's the point to it. So are my assumptions right, wrong, indifferent? Where are they?
Oh, yes, Al. Well, you know, foods are really medicine, if you think about it. So you could do a whole lot of, you know, disease fighting and prevention just by making sure you have a really good diet, like the Mediterranean diet, which will have a lot of those omega-3 fatty acids in there to help stave off things like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. So foods, first of all, are your primary medicines. Now, your supplements are, you know, if you're feeling a little like you have a lack in a certain area, people will take it because they're not eating correctly, eating on the run and that kind of thing. Always check your supplements. Make sure they're considered whole food grade supplements and not synthetics, because synthetics are just like antibiotics or any kind of other drug, and they won't have nutritional properties in the correct ratios that the body is used to having. So always look and see if you have whole food supplements. And yes, herbs are considered foods. The FDA says that. But of course, you're looking at the nutritional elements in there that feed the body and help it with immune system function, gland function, nervous system function, cardio function, all these functions that help us stay well. And I've been saying for years, Al, Melanie, I've been saying for years that if you cleanse and nourish the body, you got most medical problems whooped. You really do. It's like the best insurance policy you could ever have. And so if you just, you know, stay away from the unhealthy foods as much as you can, and if you think you have some toxin removal, work on it, and also, you know, modify that diet and transition into a healthier lifestyle. Definitely. Very good, Al.
In the same sense, we talk about foods. You need food, it's your primary medicine.
Right.
The wrong food is also your primary poison, I'm going to speculate. And one of the problems we face, though, with foods is trying to find foods that are actually complete.
Right.
We're growing foods with fertilizers that only provide a few nutrients that cause the plant to appear to be strong and healthy. But in fact, it might not have enough mineral content. Do the herbs help? Do they have a higher concentration of nutrients than we can find in a lot of foods? Do they help
Absolutely.
Make up for what we... Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
Good question, Al. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely your certified organic foods and herbs are going to be, you know, more nutritious for you. They're definitely going to be free of your fertilizers, your herbicides and pesticides, ethylene oxide gas, you name it. And yes, if they've been grown in land that's been allowed to rest, it will have the mineral content back in there. So if you can find herbs and foods grown to tilth standards, that's T-I-L-T-H, that means the land was allowed to rest at least 5 years prior to the planting, and they didn't have any chemicals on it. So we use herbs here at Apothecary Herbs that are organically grown to tilth standards or wild crafted without all that junk on it, And of course, we'll pay like $25 or more a pound for that herb, but it's definitely worth it. It does wonders for the central nervous system and other areas of the body when you have herbs of that quality. So certainly, we have foods out there conventionally grown that are lacking in nutrition, and yeah, then people are definitely going to need supplements. So if you try to
Why don't you give us some contact information so people okay. have an idea of where they can order those supplements?
Absolutely. They can reach us at Apothecary Herbs. Toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Of course, we have the web, thepowerherbs.com. They can jump on there, or they can request a free product catalog. Thanks, guys.
All right, Wendy,
thank you.
We will see you next Thursday.
Okay,
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. And the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. All your gold and silver coin needs. Melody, what do we have for special for folks today?
We're going to carry through this one more day, even with the gold is up considerable since we started this special. Considerably higher than when we first started this special. The $5 Liberty gold piece, it's a quarter ounce of gold, a free silver eagle, free shipping for $450. So we're going to carry that through. Plus, your name will be placed in a drawing that we will have on November 1st. And you might be able to win a Mint State 62 $10 Indian gold piece, or a tube of 20 1-ounce Silver Eagle. So get your orders in. You'll be placed in the drawing. We'll have that next Friday. And visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And if you have any comments today, if you'd like to give us a call with a question, you can call us at 1-800-596-8191, 800-596-8191. Or if you prefer to send us an email with a question, questions@dgscoins.com, questions@dgscoins.com for the program.
Okay, what's next?
You're next.
Anti-faith sentiment growing at an alarming rate. This is from CBN. Washington, hostility against Christian Americans is growing at an alarming rate, according to a new survey from the Family Research Council and Liberty Institute. The Liberty Institute's Jeff Matier noted that while last year's survey was based on 600 cases, this year's survey that we're releasing right now is almost 1,200. So we've almost doubled in just 1 year. Now, all right, there's anti-faith sentiment, anti-Christian faith, and it's growing. I don't doubt that there is some growth to it. But the headline is that it's growing at an alarming rate. Do you think it's growing at an alarming rate, Melody, or is it merely modest, growing, but not cause for concern?
I don't know. You'd almost have to look at the overall direction of this country over the years. I mean, if you gathered it up and seen how we've eliminated...
we've compromised our faith, and we've done so at our peril. There's no question about it. This is an important issue. This is not, but... What I'm trying to get to is the idea of whether the headline's use of the word alarming is the word alarming. Should the headline be anti-faith sentiment growing, or should it be anti-faith sentiment growing at alarming rates? I mean, it's an important issue.
It is.
I get that, but is the rate of growth alarming? And that's what I was just, that was one of the things I was curious about. And it's hard to say, but if any of you have an opinion out there in the audience.
I think if it's growing, it's alarming.
Well, I'd say that I think you might be right. Yeah, that might be right all by itself. And the reason is because our culture, our freedom, our liberty, our form of government, our prosperity is all a direct consequence of our faith. You lose that faith, which laid the foundation for much of the growth and, you know, power and prosperity of this country in the past. You lose that faith, and you will not be able to maintain your standard of living. You will not be able to maintain your liberty. You won't be able to maintain your prosperity. With the loss of faith becomes a kind of You become, your spiritual poverty leads to a secular poverty. You wind up having less in the world because you have less faith. And a lot of people would find that statement hard to believe, and they'd be easy to ridicule and so on. But yet, I have no doubt that it's true. Your culture lays the foundation for your power, your prosperity, your freedom. And your culture absolutely includes your faith. Walk away from it at your own peril. And not many people are talking about that. I think especially among younger generations, it's just presumed, oh, who needs it? They don't understand how important it is. So a loss of faith is certainly a cause for concern and arguably alarming. What do you think causes are, Melody? Why do you think people are losing their faith?
I think people are being conditioned. I think people are have just become so materialistic. I think you have all the impact of media. Look at our churches that have been being watered down. I think there's multiple causes of why this is happening. We're bringing in so many outside religions, And we are a nation that we can worship and have many different religions, but we haven't kept ours. And we have been pushed into, you know, the back room, so to speak.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And we are perceived, if it's just awful and offensive to discriminate against any faith except for the Christian faith.
Yeah.
Under that faith, oh, yeah, you can discriminate against that. All it is part of a minority attack on the majority. And it's a situation where we go for it, we allow it to take place. And we should be standing up for that faith, because in the end, it's you're going to lose that faith, you're going to lose your prosperity, you're going to lose your standard of living, you're going to lose your liberty, you're going to lose a lot of things. There's a lot more involved than whether you show up on Sunday to go to church or not. There's a great deal more. And one of the fundamental causes, from my perspective, are the 501c3 churches.
Yes.
501c3 is a section of the Internal Revenue Code. And it allows churches to operate, at least originally it allowed them to operate, on a, they had a special tax deal and an exemption from taxes, provided, and the deal was, that the ministers agreed that they would not devote more than 5% of the church resources to political activity. And as a practical matter, that meant that the minister would tell you how to be nice to your spouse or your kids or your boss, your employees, your dogs, your cats, whoever. But he would not get down and criticize the government from a political perspective. It was almost unheard of. It was rare. It wasn't unheard of, but it was rare. And if you exceeded that 5% limit, then the IRS would come after you and try to cause you some economic harm. The churches went for this, and they've tried to serve two masters, and said, "Well, we can serve God and get a tax break from government. What's wrong with that?" And I'm sitting back and saying, "No, you can't do that. You can't take that tax break if it compromises your ability to stand up, speak out, and say the truth. You can't take that tax break and still call yourself Christian ministers." And from my perspective, I think it's part of the reason that people are losing their Christian faith and an anti-faith sentiment is growing, because the faith, when it's stripped of its political applications, it becomes increasingly irrelevant. People need to understand that there isn't a separation of church and state. The government wants you to believe that because they don't want the church breathing down their neck. The government's afraid of the church. And they want the church muzzled. They want it neutered. They want it silenced where the church doesn't say anything bad. And they've accomplished that with this 503c3 section of the Internal Revenue Code and the churches that have taken that. And, you know, I think the average American goes to church and it's just not very stimulating. It can be fun, it can be inspiring, but it can also be boring, because nobody's getting up on the church, or not very few ministers are getting up on the church to rail away about a particular political candidate, or rail away about a particular law, or expound on how great a particular candidate is, or how great a particular law might be. By divesting themselves from the political arena, the churches have become irrelevant, people walk away, and I don't know if we have an anti-faith sentiment growing, but we have an indifference that's growing. Like, who needs it? Not as relevant, you know, as it once was. So,
well, I think we certainly have a falling away from the church, and it's. I mean, I like traditional. I like the traditional services. I'm not into the modern, and it has really changed. And
it's changed to make it more consumer friendly.
Mm-hmm.
It's changed in the way you run a business, where you try to figure out what the customers want. What do they want to hear? What do they want to do? All right. If they want the minister to dress up and wear a tinfoil hat that's painted lime green, that's what we'll do, get more bodies in the door. And it's not about that. It's about trying to tell the truth and being willing to do so with perhaps a smaller church. But you got to get at that truth.
And there are some good churches out there.
There are a few. In fact, I'm going to one right now. I go to one on Sundays that's conducted by a former Army captain. And it's not a 501c3 church. And he talks openly about a lot of issues. I mean, you could put him on this program.
They can talk about
it. There's nothing he thinks about that we don't talk about on this program. I mean, and he talks about it forcefully at the church. Eric Philpott is his name. He's here in the Dallas area. And there's only 30, 40 people that attend each one of the services, but doesn't matter. Gets up there and delivers truth, and he does not pussyfoot around. It's good.
We do have a caller on the line.
Well, we better answer.
Should we go to the caller?
Yeah, we better answer it. It's David from Indiana. David, how you doing?
How do, sir? Yeah, I think you're hitting her right on the dot there. If I understand this right, the American Legion and the Veterans of Foreign Wars are all under the 501c3 classification. It's kind of moving us into that political reality away from the spiritual righteousness that our living God demands of us. Mm-hmm. But what I was calling from is this plunge protection team, you know, from the Reagan creation. I have never heard of anyone to speak of how much money through this market manipulation. If you can prevent a plunge, then you can also profit from the reverse influence. What in the world comes of all this money that these government people, through this market manipulation, where does that profit go?
Well, it's a good question, but I'm pretty sure it's not over here at my house. All right, I've looked around. I'll look in the creases of the couch, and I'll check again, but I don't think it's here. Hard to say. You know, the whole system. Actually, I live in a house. Yes, I live in a house. As opposed to a tent. Dave, do I know you?
No, sir.
Hello, Dave. Are you? We haven't met.
I called before.
We haven't met face to face. All right, that's good. Where's the money going? I don't know, but the whole thing is nothing but a racket. When you get down to it, God only knows how much money is really being generated. You may be familiar with the CAFR, Comprehensive Annual Financial Accounts. Do you know what I'm talking about? Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, CAFR, required by law. The budget is what government talks about at the state level, the local level, at the federal level. It's, oh my gosh, we don't have enough money under the budget. But the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, the budget is prepared before the year. The Comprehensive Annual Financial Report is prepared after the year is over and reports how much money was actually spent and how much came in. And the amazing thing is, while the people who are reading the budget say, we don't have enough money, oh my gosh, this is terrible, we got to raise taxes. The truth is, as reported in the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, they are collecting billions of dollars, not just at the federal level, at state levels, beyond what they claim to have. And where that money's going is a very interesting question. What's being done with that money is interesting, but it's entirely possible that governments have collected enough money where they don't need to impose any more taxes for years into the future. But they've hidden the money. And this is Walter Burian was the guy that uncovered most of this, initially in New Jersey, and later he's helped people around the country dig up the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. So my point is, you're asking where that money is going, and I'm saying there's a lot of money going and disappearing. I think we have been the golden goose. And we've been laying these golden eggs, and the government's been taking the golden eggs and using them to support the New World Order. They've been using them to buy dictators in Africa and influence politicians in who knows where, Asia and Europe and South America. They have been extracting our wealth, the wealth that we've been producing, and they've been taking it from us and using it to support agendas that have nothing to do with our Constitution, nothing positive to do with our nation. We are being bled, in my opinion, by our own government. Now, I think that, but I can't tell you. I can't prove it. Go ahead, Melody.
Well, you always fail to, you always forget Wall Street. I mean, I believe Wall Street, they work in conjunction. I mean, they work with the Secretary of Treasury, the working group of financial markets. They work with the Federal Reserve System. They work with the SEC. They work with the CFTC to keep the markets strong. And I think I think it's Wall Street that supplies the funds. I guess regardless of whether it comes from Wall Street or Washington, but I you're absolutely correct. That's what funnels the money for the promotion of the New World Government.
Well, if you look at the New World Government.
Hold on, David. We're going to have to wait. We have not been following our clock again. We both have a Melody and I have, but you can't make us watch them all the time. Got to take a break for some commercial announcements. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. And Dave, I believe, is still on the line. Dave, are you there?
Hi. Yeah, you know, my last comment on this is if you look at this from the New World Order, this universal government satanic world rule, point of view. It's a political statement brought about by the fact that, you know, the vast majority of countries in the world with a fiat currency have people contributing to this political dogma, you know, from 30 to, you know, shoot, some places in France, 100% of, you know, their ability to create a wage. This, if it's viewed from a doggone serpent's eyeball into your running of your governments and of your life, your healthcare systems, your industry, and all that, if you can actually...
If you can see it from their perspective, and one of the ways you see it from their perspective is you've got to have a pretty strong sense of faith to begin with. In, you know, insofar as people are falling away from the faith, it doesn't mean that they're merely losing their appreciation for Christianity, for example. It also means that they are losing their ability to perceive the opposing side when you're engaged in spiritual warfare. If you can't see your own team, you aren't going to be able to appreciate the other team and see what they're up to. You don't really get it. You don't see the spiritual warfare unless you've gone deeper into the faith yourself. We've got another caller coming in. Dave, can we turn you loose here and get to the...
Yes.
Is there something you'd like to add?
Thanks very much
for your call. We've got Mark from Ohio is calling up. We're getting calls out of the Midwest today. Hello, Mark. What's up?
Must be snowing.
Mark? Hello, Mark.
Here. Can you hear me?
I can now. Did you have the mute button pressed on your microphone or your headphone or whatever?
No, sir, I did not.
All right.
I just have a quick question. First of all, I love your guys' show, man. I listen to it every day. It's a great show.
Thank you.
But one question I have that I never really hear talked about is, if the dollar does fall, what happens to personal credit cards? What happens to the interest rate on that?
Well, what do you mean? Tell me what you mean by if the dollar falls. Do you mean if the dollar falls from 79 on the U.S. dollar index to 70? Is that what you mean, or do you
mean if the dollar collapses? No, if the dollar collapses, I'm sorry. What actually happens to, like, people's personal credit cards and stuff like that? What happens to the interest rate on that?
I mean, the credit cards are all denominated in those fiat dollars. If the fiat dollars disappear, your credit card is going to become a collectible. I don't know if they still do the Antique Roadshow or not. You may remember that TV program. I haven't seen it in years. It might still be running, but they may have another one 20 years from now. You'll be able to save your credit cards. You'll be able to go up and say, look, and people look at it and say, what is that? You say, that's a credit card. A credit card? Oh, my gosh, I thought there were myths. No, we've got a real credit card, and you can find out that your credit card is now worth $20,000 because it's so rare. They all disappeared. You know, I'm just joking here. But
I mean, what happens to the balances, though, you know?
If we're talking about a dollar collapse, we're ultimately talking about a dollar whose value is dramatically reduced. We know that the dollar is already worth less than a nickel as compared to what it was back 40, 50 years ago. It's lost 95% of its value already. It could lose another 95%. It could lose another 90%. If it's worth a nickel today compared to what it was then, we could lose another 95%, and it could fall down in value to where it was only worth a penny or less. And it could still work. All right? If the declines were relatively gradual, if you are, you know, boiling frogs and you are reduced, you know, just increasing the heat a little at a time, the frogs don't mind. They don't notice. But if it drops suddenly, people will abandon that currency. They will run for whatever they can find. They'll take that currency and they say, my God, if I don't spend this $10 bill right now, it'll only be worth $5 tomorrow. So they're going to go to the store and they will buy anything, buy stuff they don't even want. They'll have athletes going down and buying tampons in the grocery store because it's all they can find that's for sale. Doesn't matter. Get something. Get rid of the dollar now. Well, if you have an outstanding balance and the dollar is collapsing, the purchasing power of your balance will be dramatically reduced. You may still be able to get the dollars, but they may only buy 10 cents as compared to what they could buy today. Maybe only a nickel, hard to say. But
yeah,
that's
the sense. Yeah, but are people still going to owe that balance, or you know, what happens to that? I mean, are the creditors still going to want to collect?
Creditors are ruined. I mean, that's what's happening right now. People who have money to loan are being paid back in cheaper dollars. Anyone who's bought a home has heard the argument, go ahead, take the mortgage, and you can pay it back in cheaper dollars. They are counting on inflation. But when they do that, they're also implicitly counting on the ability to rob the creditors.
I think another way to put this, I think rates will rise, and I think the people will default on their cards. Just like the government will default on their debt, the people will default on their debt because you have a dollar that's not going to be purchasing anything. And so interest rates will skyrocket. And so, I mean, that's what happens. And yeah, the companies will fall. They will be big enough to fail, because they will fail because the debt won't be repaid. I believe, you know, you can go into contracts. Al, I don't know where contracts, you know, will.
Doesn't matter. Rule. You'll be able to get your money back. You'll get your contracts. I mean, we're not saying that the contract, but the difference is this. I have a contract with someone for $100,000. In a worst case scenario, the dollar falls in value to where it's only worth 10% of what it's worth today. I'll get $100,000 out of the guy who owes me the $100,000. He'll pay me, but it will only purchase about $10,000 worth of goods and services as compared to the $100,000 when we negotiated the contract. I intended, it's not the number, it's the purchasing power that's important here. I get $100,000, big deal. But if it only buys $10,000, I've just suffered a $90,000 loss. I'm getting $100,000. But I'm getting beat out of 90% of its purchasing power. That's the danger. And when it happens, people are almost, in a worst-case scenario, they are almost instantly impoverished. Got a man who's got $1 million in the bank? Yeah, you might get your $1 million back. But it may only be good for $100,000 worth of goods and services. You're no longer a wealthy man. Now what? You know, and it could be worse.
But maybe you're still going to be... But you're still going to be responsible for your debt. That's why people will default.
Well, yeah, but the question is, there are people, one way or another, you're going to pay your debt. You send me the $100,000. I'm going to send, all right, I'm going to pay off my debts too, because the money isn't worth anything. Mm-hmm. But the creditors get robbed. And once the creditors are robbed, there is no capital. There's no real capital left to build the next shopping center or the next factory or to invest in somebody's business. This whole system is based on an illusion that these pieces of paper have value. And when that illusion disappears, all of a sudden, where is all the paper capital? Where is the wealth that's necessary to invest in the next industry, the next plant, the next football stadium? It's gone. And we have to get back to something real, and that will be something like gold and silver. I don't know if that makes any sense. Does that make any sense, Mark?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it was kind of a little bit more than I was asking for, because I just wanted to know about the interest rates.
Well,
everybody's got like a 20, if you got like a 21% interest rate, are they going to raise that also? Because I've heard you talk about like, the government, like the Federal Reserve, raises the interest rate of the borrowing of the money and all that kind of stuff. But what happens on a personal level to people, you know, personal credit and all that stuff?
This economy and a nation and whatever, it has to move in something like a coordinated manner. And when any part of it gets too far out of line, the whole thing just kind of grinds to a halt. And if the interest rates are excessively high, they can make it stop. And if the interest rates are excessively low, they can make it stop. Somewhere there has to be a free market that tells us what real prices should be. And as soon as government steps in and say, no, we're the smart guys, we've got PhDs and the rest, and we're so smart that we can control the interest rate, and we can control the money supply, and we can control whether stock market is going up or going down, and we can control the price of gold because we are so smart, we can hold this whole thing together by manipulation and control. And the truth is, they're not that smart. They can't do it, at least not for long. And as soon as they try, we are headed for big trouble, although with the manipulation and control, they may avoid that control, that trouble for a while. We may get away with it for 20, 40, 50 years, but the day is coming when all of a sudden the controls fail. And when they do, then we go back to reality. And then you and I and Melody have to start sitting here between ourselves and say, okay, what is that ounce of gold worth? And we aren't going to be able to put a price on it in terms of dollars if the dollars have failed. We're going to have to start thinking of gold as the money. We're going to have to start thinking of gold in terms of bread and beef and automobiles and roofing materials to repair the leak on your house. It will require a change in the way we think and we perceive things, but get back to it and we'll do all right. It'll be a bumpy road, but it'll be, once you get back to it, we may be much, much better off. We've got one more caller. Mark, so if you don't mind, we'll thank
Very
you for
good.
Your
Onward
call.
Christian soldiers.
Thank you. Onward and upward. Thank you. We got Jay from Washington State here. Jay, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. I have perhaps a simpler question, but it's been one I've been wanting to ask somebody for a while. I heard a time ago, I read it on a blog, the survival blog, and it was about nickels, how they're worth more than a nickel. So, consequently, I have a significant amount of nickels. I don't spend them. I keep them. And then when I'm at the stores, I'll ask for rolls of nickels. And so I have a lot of these nickels. And so is it true that nickels are worth more than a nickel? And are they worth me saving in that way? And I'll go ahead and take your answers off the air. God bless you both. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jake. Are nickels worth more than a nickel? That's the world we live in. You could ask that question. And it's actually a rational question. It sounds insane, doesn't it? Is a nickel worth more than a nickel, Melody?
It depends on what nickel
is. It sounds like a crazy question. But the reason we have the question is because the world is based on an irrational presumption that a piece of paper is money. And worse than just a piece of paper, a debt instrument on top of that. What we mean is, when we say, is a nickel worth more than a nickel, we mean, is a nickel worth more than a 20th of a fiat dollar? And the answer is yes. And the answer is, the reason is because the nickel is something tangible, and its value might stay the same forever, but the value of that paper dollar is going to constantly diminish. And as time goes by, relative to the paper dollar, the nickel will become worth more and more and more. Now, is it your best investment? I don't know that it's your best investment, but I don't think Jay is talking about investing in nickels per se. He's just talking about going through the change in his pocket every day after he gets home from work, and he's got some nickels in there, and he puts them off to the side. Well, it's not a bad idea. And in fact, you know, it's one of those things that may do you well at some point in the future. Can't hurt you. You're bound to make money. Is it your best investment? Not necessarily. If you could put the money into gold or silver, you'd be better off, in my opinion, but it's still better than paper. We're out of time, folks. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow on Financial Survival. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny